Let us now turn to our scripture reading from Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. I'll be reading this morning the verses 3 through 7. Your bulletins is a insert, and on that on the insert is on one side the outline of this morning's message, and on the other side is the scripture reading from the version I'll be reading here this morning, the English Standard Version. Luke chapter 3, I'll be reading the verses 7 through 14. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And what shall we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation. Be content with your wages." Thus the reading of God's word as we find it this morning in Luke 2, verses 7 through 14. And keep in mind as well on that outline, again, one side is the scripture reading, the other is an outline of this morning's message. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, if you were to follow a church growth manual on how to plant a church, the plan would go something like this. You need to build a large, big building, have comfortable seating, and a large nursery area that is kept clean with plenty of toys for the children. The worship service, you need to have a dynamic pastor who can speak well and make you laugh and feel good about yourself. The service music should be music that people know and can identify with. And a coffee bar before church, so people arrive on time, and after church, so people afterwards will stay and fellowship with each other. But as we saw in our sermon message last time on John the Baptist, this was not the ministry of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist came on the scene in Luke chapter 3, he did not come into Jerusalem and speak at Herod's glorious and beautiful temple with all its large and beautiful stones that the disciples, even the disciples, were so proud of as they speak to him about it later in the Gospel of Luke. Instead, John the Baptist we find in the wilderness, a hot and dry wilderness desert along the Jordan River. And he called the people out of the cities to the desert, and the geography, as we saw last week, is very significant. For the place of the Jordan River and the region of the Jordan River is the place that the first Israel in the book of Joshua entered the land. And now, as he calls them from Jerusalem and various places throughout the land of Israel, he calls them back to the region of the Jordan. Not an attractive place, but a place where God had sent him because, as we saw from the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. God had prophesied, God had spoken through his prophet, that the prophet John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, would come and speak in the wilderness. We saw last time the baptism of John, a baptism for the repentance and the forgiveness of sins, a message that speaks of the fact that you are a sinner and need forgiveness, that as a sinner, you need a Savior, and the way to identifying with the fact that you understand you're a sinner and need a Savior is to submit to the baptism of John in the Jordan. Verse 7 of our text, the people have responded. They are coming to be baptized by John. And yet Luke will now record for us, for the first time in the Gospel of Luke, and for the first time as he has already described the ministry of John the Baptist, the actual words of John's proclamation. Up to verse 7, John has not spoken. We've learned about his ministry. We've learned about the fact that he is proclaiming a baptism for the repentance of the forgiveness of sins, verse 3, but he has yet to speak until verse 7. And in the message that John proclaims, it is not simply enough to repent and go through what could become in your mind a ritual baptism. But when you repent of the forgiveness of sins in John's sermon, he tells us that it must be a repentance that shows that you mean it. And to show that you mean it means that you bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Verse 8. What does that mean? What does that mean to bear fruits in keeping with repentance? In verse 7 begins John's message. The crowds have gathered. They are listening to the word of John, and John is giving them a wake-up call. He calls them, as we see in the middle of verse 7, "You brood of vipers!" Exclamation point. Now, nobody in today's world, if you're going to plant a church, if you're going to build a big facility and have wonderful seating and wonderful nursery facilities and a coffee bar to bring people in, and if the pastor gets up and the first thing he says, "You brood of vipers," this would not be good for the church growth plan and movement. But that's what John is doing. He's called them out to a desert region, and when they come out and hear his message, he calls them a brood of vipers. A brood means offspring, the offspring of vipers. Vipers are snakes, poisonous snakes at that. It means that John the Baptist is starting out his first sermon telling them that they are like poisonous snakes, the offspring of poisonous snakes. It implies that as a snake, like we see even in the very beginning of Scripture in the Garden of Eden, a snake comes and people are interested, perhaps even curious about it. On the outside, it seems as if it's harmless and good. But on the inside, the snake, how it acts, is filled with being tricky, dangerous, not trustworthy, and deadly. Now keep in mind that the people who have come out to John were considered the part of Israel or the Jewish people of Jewish background, religious people perhaps even on the outside. Many of them born Jewish, identified, as we'll see in a moment, with the promise of Abraham. They are used to going to their Jewish religious rituals. They are used to going to the temple and participating in the sacrifices. John knows that they are a people who are yet participating, but casual about the state of their souls. They know God is holy. They go to the temple and they know about the high priest and the most holy place. They know that God has recognized them as sinners. They bring their animals for the sacrifices as a sacrifice to be made to pay for their sin. But they still don't understand that the reason John has come is to tell them that they need a Savior from their sins. And so John speaks of them as calling them a brood of vipers, deceivers. On the one hand, they look one way on the outside, but on the inside, they do not act like what they claim to be on the outside. And so in the second part of that verse, he speaks of God's wrath. In fact, he warns them. He said to them, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who has told you about this? Because whoever has told you about it, they have not let you know the urgency of the situation that you are in. When it comes to your relationship with God, you are a brood of vipers. You have a casual relationship with God. You think that you're okay. You think that you don't really need to be saved. You think that you're not as bad as the other people around you that live in this world." And so much of their focus, of their discussion in those days as the Jewish people, was not about the fact that they were sinners and needed to be saved from their sin. They liked to talk about the Roman government and how bad and corrupt the Roman government and the Roman leaders were. They liked to talk about how many taxes that government was forcing them to pay. They liked to talk about the Roman soldiers and the abusive Roman soldiers as they took control of their lives. And yet, what does John say? Who told you about the wrath to come? And with that, John is jolting them awake. Don't you understand what you really need to be afraid of? If you think that Rome is a problem, if you think that the government that is over you is the problem, if you think the world that you live in is the problem, you have missed what the gospel is all about. You don't understand the gospel at all. You don't understand that God is angry with sin, that God's wrath is coming because of sin. You're not focused on the fact that you are a sinner and are in need of God's grace and forgiveness. You go through all these rituals at the temple. You go through all those practices that are required of you. And yet you, John tells them, are a brood of vipers. Tricky, dangerous, and not trustworthy. And God's wrath is coming. If you truly understood who you are before God, if you truly understood what God's wrath is all about and what you need to be saved from, and the fact that you are a sinner and need that salvation, your focus would be completely different. So he goes on to tell them what they need to recognize about themselves. What's missing? Verse 8. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. What does that mean? Look how he defines the problem in the next phrase of that verse. And do not begin to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." What does that mean? It means that those who have come to him are Jews and descendants of Abraham. And as descendants of Abraham, as they have heard the call of John the Baptist, they are coming with an assumption. They think that just by the fact that they are descendants of Abraham, that they are part of the covenant community, the Old Testament people of God, just because as descendants of Abraham, they go to the temple, they participate in the Passover once a year, and participate in all the ritual washings that are required, and listen to the Pharisees and the other religious leaders who tell them about the Old Testament word of God and what they are to do, that they are, as children of Abraham, okay. That God's wrath and God's coming wrath isn't for them. That they need to take, John is telling them, God's wrath and coming wrath seriously. That God's coming wrath is not just for all those terrible other sinful people out there. Those people who are doing wicked and sinful things. It's not we, the children of Abraham. We're not that bad. We never murdered anybody. We never committed adultery. We never did those terrible and sinful things that those other sinners in this world are doing. We're children of Abraham. We follow the requirements given. And we recognize that we are okay. And John is telling them, no, you need a Savior. Don't think of yourselves. What does he say in that verse? Don't think of yourselves as if Abraham is our father, we're okay. He goes on at the end of the verse to say, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. You see, John is saying, God doesn't need you. You think, well, God needs us. We're the children of Abraham. He's given the promise that the fullness of time, salvation will come through the line of the children of Abraham. And as the children of Abraham, the Savior that God is sending is going to save the children of Abraham. And when they think of being saved as part of the children of Abraham, their focus is on a nation, an earthly nation. An earthly nation that will live in the land of Israel and be restored what it once was in the Old Testament. But John is saying, look, God doesn't need you. You are not somehow privileged because you're a child of Abraham that God needs you and you're okay and you don't have to worry. As children of Abraham, God could raise them up from stone. From stones, God could raise up children of Abraham, a new people of God. It doesn't have to come from you because God is able to raise them up from even stones if need be. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need you simply because you're a child of Abraham. He could take stones and create a new people of God. This is a wake-up call, a wake-up message for the people that lived in the land of Israel during John's day, a call to the faith and to the gospel and to the need of the fact that you are a sinner and need a Savior. And John goes on in the last verse, or verse 9, to describe the urgency of the situation. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Now, keep in mind that first part of the verse, the first two words in your English Bibles, even now, or right now, or immediately, the words indicate an urgency to the situation. Urgency to what is now taking place and what God is announcing through John the Baptist that's taking place. Previously, in the Old Testament history of the people of God, there have been prophets that have come. Prophets that have come to the people of God. Prophets that call them back to faith and to the law and to the word of God and to the salvation that God had promised in the Old Testament. Prophet after prophet after prophet has come, and John the Baptist, now the last of the Old Testament prophets, is going to point them to the final Word of God. The final Word of God that is going to come through God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh. The final Word of God, the salvation of God, which will be fully explained and laid out before the people in Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Lord and Savior of His people. And when John begins with the words, even now, he's letting them know that that time is now. The gospel era, the salvation of God in all of its fullness is even now. This is the time for sinners to come and recognize that they are sinners and need the Savior that God is sending. Even now, with the coming of the gospel, what happens? The axe is laid to the root of the trees. Look what he goes on to say. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You see, this message that John the Baptist is proclaiming, this message of salvation, which points to the coming of God's Son, Jesus Christ, this is like the axe coming to the root of the tree. You see, the tree is growing and the axe now is coming to that root to destroy and cut down that tree. And trees that don't bear fruit are the trees that are going to be cut down. And the tree gets its start through its coming to knowledge of Jesus Christ as its Lord and Savior. But if that tree is not bearing fruit, if that tree is a false tree, is a tree that's growing that doesn't bear the fruit that it belongs to that Savior, the axe is being laid down with the coming of the gospel. And if people reject the Savior, if people reject the gospel and the final salvation that God is announcing through his coming, they may be cut down and thrown into the fire. John's warning is a warning even for us today, a warning to know that God could end your life at any moment, that you need to take God seriously every day, that something could happen to you, an accident, a shooting, a sudden illness, any number of things could happen to you and God could take you at any moment. I have a high school friend recently my mom put me in touch with, basketball teammate who I lived in or played together with for many, many years. I just started writing to him because my mom had heard that he had just found out at 50 years old, he has stage 4 cancer. He keeps telling me over and over, life is short. He keeps telling me over and over, I had the wrong focus for so many years. I was caught up in the business world. I was caught up in advancement. I was caught up in all of these things that the world has to offer. And I left in shambles so many things behind. Relationships with my family, relationships with others, even my relationship with the Lord. Use what time you have, he said, and keep saying to me, to serve the Lord, because the axe is laid to the root of the tree, even now. But now as we look at verse 10 of our text, the crowds appear on the scene, and the crowds have a question. Their question in verse 10, as they've been listening to John as he preaches this sermon, what shall we do? You notice throughout the next verses, that question is asked 3 different times, the same question by 3 different parties that are part of the crowd. What then shall we do? This question is flowing out of what John has said in verse 8. Look what he tells them in verse 8. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And the crowd has heard that. The crowd has heard about the wrath of God that's coming. The crowd has heard that John is calling them vipers. That means on the one hand, they look like they're good and doing the right thing, but inside they're tricky and deceptive, and they don't live out the fruit of salvation in their life. The crowd has heard that they shouldn't rely on the fact that they are Abraham's children. They are religious people, and they should be okay. But what do you mean then if the axe is going to be put to the root of the tree, and it's trees that don't have fruit, and you're telling us, John, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, the question then that the crowd is asking in verse 10 is, what then shall we do? In other words, how do we live a Christian life in bearing and keeping with repentance? And so as Luke records the question three times, asked by three different portions of the crowds, each time he gives an answer about what bearing fruits in keeping with repentance looks like. The first question, verse 11, what then shall we do? Verse 10, and he answers, whoever has two tunics to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. The people of John's day often would wear an inner and an outer coat. It gets cold at night in various places in that region, and John says, don't walk by that person who is freezing, you with your two tunics and that person with none. And you're walking down the road or you know of someone in need of food, one of the most basic necessities of life, clothing and food, and you have plenty. Give him some food. What John is saying is, don't be a viper. Don't act like you're saved and religious and you're one of the elite children of Abraham where you're in the kingdom of God and you're okay, and yet you walk by that person with no coat or tunic and you have two and he has none. Cold. You have plenty of food and that person has no food. God has forgiven your sins and has given you his free grace. And the way that you can show what God has done in your heart and the gratefulness that you have in your heart because God has forgiven you is to be generous with others. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Showing that the grace that is given to you is in your heart and willing to show others basic human decency and charity. The second group that the crowd, it was within the crowd and asked the question, is found in verse 12. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? Tax collectors, of course, were those who worked for the Romans. The Romans were the ones who collected taxes back in those days, but the Romans, of course, were despised. They were the ones who were the invaders. They were the controlling nation which had conquered the people of Israel and the land of Judah. So they would then hire Jews to collect taxes on their behalf. And for a Jew to be a tax collector, it often meant that you had to buy your way into the position. And so you would purchase the opportunity to be a tax collector, and many of those Jewish tax collectors then would want to recoup the money that they put into it. So they would charge more taxes, collect more taxes than was required. And once the money was recouped that they had put into it, they didn't stop collecting more taxes than was required, but they continued taking advantage of their own people with the power and support of the Roman government to do it. That is why later in the book of Luke, there is so much hatred for Jesus because he has gone into the home of Zacchaeus, a hated tax collector and sinner's home. These tax collectors would cheat their own people out of taxes. They used government authority and power to accomplish that. Do you see now why John calls them as they're listening to him vipers? On the one hand, they claim to be children of Abraham. On the other hand, they are tricky, dishonest, and not trustworthy. And what does John say to them in the next verse, verse 13. Collect no more than you are authorized to do. Stop cheating people. And even though you may know that there are other people that do it, everybody does it. That's just the way the system works. Even though you may be able to get away with it, and you've gotten away with it for years, and you could probably keep doing it for years and years, and nobody would ever know, and you'd have all kinds of money. Deal honestly and fairly with people. Bear the fruits of repentance in keeping with that repentance. The third group we see in our text is the soldiers. Now, people have questioned about who are these particular soldiers. Most often in the Gospels, when we see soldiers, they are often identified as Roman soldiers. But we also know that at various parts of the Gospels, there are Jewish soldiers that appear, whether they be soldiers from the Temple Guard or some other place where they are serving, where the Romans had hired them to keep order. Nevertheless, there are soldiers in our text, whether Roman or Jewish or mixed, we don't know. But John does tell us what the soldiers are doing. He tells them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation. What are they doing? They're extorting money. They're using the power of the sword and their weapons and the force that is needed to threaten people, to falsely accuse people. They go beyond what Rome has required, and power has corrupted their thinking, their minds. They falsely accuse people and go in and raid them. They threaten people and control and manipulate. They extort money from others. And now you see why John has called them vipers. But what does John say to the soldiers? Be content with your wages. You don't need that extra money. When it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the wrath to come, that money means nothing. It's not going to help you. You can't take it with you to heaven. You can't take it with you to hell. That money does you no good. Be content with the wages that you are given. Don't extort money. Don't threaten people because you're a soldier with weapons. Don't falsely accuse people and run them off and take advantage of them. That is not the way of the kingdom of God. That is not bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Be content with what God has given you. Now, it's important at this point that you understand what John does not say. The people are living under a corrupt Roman government, and all around them, there is discussion about overthrowing Rome, that they make that the primary focus of their discussions and their life as they live in this Jewish world. But John doesn't say, as he speaks to them this message from God, leave the Roman government. It's not a godly system. John doesn't come onto the scene and say, overturn this corrupt system. John doesn't say to them, well, let's Christianize this government system and make it better. But when John is speaking to them, he is speaking to them about the fact that they are sinners and are in need of God's grace. And he tells them in the bearing of fruit of repentance section, work within the system in which you live and do a fair and honest job in a manner that glorifies God. That's bearing fruits in keeping with repentance. But the message of John in these verses, as we look as it is summarized throughout, is a reminder that you are a sinner and that we're all sinners. It's a reminder that God's wrath is going to come, and God's wrath will fall upon sinners unless sinners repent of their sin. John's message is that repentance is not just a mental thing. Repentance is not just another ritual. Be baptized in the Jordan and you're okay. Repentance is not just saying the right words of a prayer and now you're in. But genuine repentance from sin is an understanding that you're a sinner and you need a Savior that is coming, John tells us, in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And the result of identifying with that repentance is bearing the fruit of repentance in your life. And if you look at John's message, where that true repentance is seen, you recognize where John has put the focus. These verses that are recorded in verses 10 through 14 are not found in a parallel gospel. If you look at the Gospel of Matthew, verses 7 through 9 are almost exactly the same in Luke as Matthew. But the verses that Luke includes here in verses 10 through 14 are only found in Luke. Because as Luke is describing the ministry of John the Baptist, as he is laying out for you what it means to bear fruit in keeping with repentance, you notice he does not say, faithful repentance is a good, strong devotional life. Bearing fruit with repentance is knowing doctrine and theology. Bearing fruit with repentance is about how many church services you attend. Now, those things are good. But that's not where John puts the focus. John tells us in these verses that bearing fruit in keeping with repentance is reflected in how you treat other people. That everyday life is about living out the relationship you have with God. And you live out that relationship you have with God in how you relate to the people that are around you in your life. That as you deal with others in your life, it should reflect how God has dealt with you. God has given you, the sinner, his grace and forgiveness and a Savior freely out of his grace. And the everyday life relationships that you live with your parents, with your children, with your wife, with your husband, with the people you work for and work for you, your neighbors, your friends, and people at church, should all reflect the relationship you have with God, which flows out in the relationship way you treat others. The message of John's repentance tells us where the genuineness of the fruits of repentance will show up in a person's life. A person who claims to be godly, but treats people dishonestly, deceptively, is not a person that is bearing the fruits of repentance, John tells us. They are, according to John's words, offspring of vipers. John states, you need to recognize the wrath of God is coming. The gospel has come in God's Son, Jesus Christ. The axe is at the root of the tree. The time for repentance and faith in Christ is now. Bearing fruits with keeping of repentance in how you relate to others shows the sign of what Christ has done in your heart and the fruit of what Christ has done will be beneficial to all those around you in your life. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this text, this sermon message from John the Baptist, a sermon message which reminds us that we are sinners, a sermon message that reminds us that we are guilty sinners and worthy of your wrath. But Lord, a message which points us to the Savior that has come, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would work in us, in our hearts, that as John spoke to the people of his day, we would not be vipers, but that, Lord, our hearts would reflect what has taken place in our hearts from you, that the wonderful grace of Christ, the generous salvation and love of Christ, the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the grave would shine forth in us and from us, that people around us would see us as genuine, truth, loving God people. That people around us, Lord, would not experience untrustworthiness. That people around us, Lord, would not want to stay away from us, thinking we're tricky or deceptive or taking advantage of them. But that they would see a generous and loving heart which seeks to live out what Christ has given to us. Father, we know as we look around us, as we think about the relationships around us, there are many places where we need to grow and do better. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would work in us, that, Lord, as we have come to recognize John's message, we would embrace what it means to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Lord, that we would live out the ethic of heaven. That, Lord, not the ethic of this world, which is surrounded by deception and sin and trickery, but because our hearts belong to heaven, people would see in us and how we deal with them the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of righteousness Christ has given us. Pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name.